of Garen and Annalise. Now it's Annalise Patrick. So sweet to see that couple married. She was, I think Annalise was maybe a senior when my wife and I got here in 2010, maybe a junior in high school there at Chaparral High School, got plugged in. Lord called her to go to West Coast Baptist College, and she followed, and she's been pursuing her degree there. Just got, I think she got finished up with her master's degree as well, education major, and so just got married to a wonderful young man. They've been serving in a church in L.A. That's where they met on their weekend ministries, the pastor, Brother Abram Thomas, one of the men that we've supported as a church here for the past 3 years that they've been in Inglewood, just right outside near the LAX airport. He said, yeah, we strategically placed them in ministries where they'd be together, and we saw that coming, and you know, so Garen and Annalise just got married yesterday, my wife sang, in their wedding, and just a special time to see them. And as Brother Abram was conducting the services there in the little chapel, he went there with a verse just like this, talked about submission, and he talked about him loving her, but thought, oh boy, here we go again. But hey, for Father's Day, I said, this is my pass, this is my free pass, okay? So 1 Peter chapter 3 is where we'll be. Again, remain seated for this, and we'll just look at the first couple verses here. I guess I would kind of think of it like a seminary, a seminar style, not so much expository preaching through this entire text, but we'll reference things all the way down to verse number 7 as well. But 1 Peter chapter 3 and the first couple verses, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. And skip down to verse number 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Let's pray once more. Our Father, as we bow before you this evening, we're thankful for just this institution that you've given to us called marriage, and we're thankful even just for the beauty of life, of not knowing everything from the beginning, and of this process of learning that we get to go on, and this journey that we get to take day by day of understanding each other and relating to each other and loving each other through all the bumps and the bruises. And God, we're just grateful for your wisdom and your foresight and who we would be as people, and even those of us specifically and particularly in this room. I know that you desire so much more than what we're living up to, and yet the simple acts of just trying to be obedient to you and following you, you still decide to bless that and try to help us through some things and give us wonderful marriages and wonderful kids. And for all these blessings, we're so grateful to you for, and we just want to do the best that we can with them and for each other as well. And so help us in that tonight, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Just as a way of review from this morning, the Ephesians 5 passage was a picture of Jesus Christ's love for the church, and the way he chose to picture that was through this institution that we call marriage, is through this idea of a man leaving father and mother and joining to a woman and sticking together for life and sacrificing himself for her and devoting himself to her, just like Christ did for the church. And it's as if marriage was a type of what Jesus Christ would be, and all the marriages prior to Jesus Christ were looking ahead toward him, even unbeknownst to them. And even those of us that are married, after the fact, our lives are a picture. They should be a picture. They're designed to be a picture of Jesus Christ's love for his bride. And the way a husband loves his wife can be a picture to the world of how Christ loves the church, and that's how it is. But there is the other side, whereas we might focus many times on the love side, there is the other side, whereas it says in the final phrase of Ephesians 5, and see that she reverence her husband. And that reverence means that she respects him. And we preach the unconditional love so often that's ingrained into us. And there's the other side, though, where the woman is also called for unconditional respect, not based on what the man has done to earn respect, but based on who she is in submitting to Jesus Christ and just desiring to be pleasing to Jesus Christ and obedient to him. And he has linked their lives together. And so she chooses as an act of her submission to Jesus Christ to show respect to her husband. Not because he's earned it, not because he's worthy, but because she recognizes, look, I'm not worthy of unconditional love either. And yet I expect that of my husband, so I'm choosing to show respect to my husband. This is something I've studied off and on now for maybe a decade or more. My wife and I, when we were dating, we just celebrated our 10th anniversary, and we dated for 2 years, probably the final year before our marriage, even just the final few months while we were engaged. We went through these books by Shanti Feldhahn. Yeah, I was switching those back and forth. Shanti Feldhahn. And she and her husband co-wrote a couple books called For Men Only and For Women Only. They have a junior version for young men only, for young women only, where they take and they write some of these aspects out of what respect looks like to a man. And so it's trying to write a book to a woman to help her understand the man's mindset, and write books to a man to help him understand the woman's mindset. My wife and I each read those books, and we wrote notes about what resonated with us, and then we swapped books, and she read my notes, I read her notes, and we went through those as just kind of a course of trying to understand each other. I would keep reading and trying to understand just not just the woman's mindset. I know that's there's depths there that I could never fully grasp. And when I talk to my wife and she's talking about emotional problems with herself or with other girls or counseling teen girls, she goes, I don't even understand girls, and I'm a girl. And I go, how am I supposed to understand of a girl if a smart girl can't understand girls? And how is this, but all the while, it's still worth the effort of trying almost attacking the problem and trying to understand of what's going on and what the needs are and how I can help in any way. Now, this book that I mentioned this morning, Love and Respect, in some ways encapsulates many of the things I've been thinking and dwelling on and just trying to put into words. And we're just going to breeze through a lot of what would just be the application of some scriptural principles, where the scriptural principle we read tonight was that there might be a husband, there's perhaps a husband who is disobedient to the word. That's what it says in verse number 1. To your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won. So there's a husband there that in some area of his life, he's being disobedient to the word. I've heard it said many times that this is an unsaved husband. And that might be the case. I think maybe if it's not directly the meaning, I think it can be expanded to a husband that's just away from God in some way. Maybe he is saved, maybe not. But a husband that's away from God in some way, Peter is not the same author, but he's presenting the same message that this husband can somehow be won through what? Look at the end of verse number 1. You can convince him. You can get through to his heart. You can convey truth, not by forcing it down his throat, but what he says, may also, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, the King James, we understand that the word conversation just means the lifestyle. Okay, so through living with his wife every single day and understanding her and watching her and knowing her ups and downs and knowing her faults and failures, the Bible says that she can live in a way that brings him to Jesus Christ. Now, how is that? Verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Again, conversation is not just your conversing, as we use the word today, but conversation is your lifestyle. And chaste is that word chastity, which just means holiness. Your holy conversation, your holy lifestyle, the way you live as a holy woman, a woman of God who's trying to be pleasing to God, just trying to be obedient to God. He says that's what's going to get through to them while they behold your chaste conversation. But look at the end of verse number 2, coupled with fear. You're living a holy life, but you're doing it in a way that is respectful. That's what the word fear there means. It's the same idea as reverence and respect. And so a wife can use her lifestyle, her holy lifestyle, out of an attitude of respect for her husband, for him to see, you know what, I have no right to be treating her like that or to be treating God like that. And in many ways, Peter is saying you can bring the husband along just by not only your holy living, but But your holy living coupled with fear, your holy living that's coupled with this respectful attitude, that kind of selfless devotion when he's not right to God will bring him along. Now, don't misinterpret my saying this to say that you have to stay in an abusive situation. If there's any kind of abuse, just from this pulpit standpoint, from my dad's standpoint, from a legal standpoint, obviously get out of that. That's not what I'm at all advocating. What I'm talking about is the simple expression of a man that's being disobedient to the word, trying to bring him along through your lifestyle, but in an attitude of respect. And we say when there's two people living together, basically they're good-natured with each other. They want to help each other. You didn't wake up in the morning wanting to hurt your husband or hurt your wife. You're basically good-natured, and you can imagine in some ways going through life with a big air tank. The man has a big blue air tank with a blue hose that's leading out of the air tank and connecting to his back, and that's his life support. And labeled on that is called respect, and that's what he uses as his breath. And the lady has a big pink air tank with a pink hose connecting to her, and it's labeled with love, and that's her maiden tongue, and that's the way that she finds connection. Now imagine that big love tank, and the man waltzes in, and he sees his wife. And he says, look what I got at Savers today. I got a good deal on this book. They said they got it from a garage sale. It was only $1.99. It's a book on dieting. Here you go, honey. I got a good deal. It's a diet book. Now, what is he going to do when he walks into a room and does that? What he's doing is stepping on her air hose. She's going, I can't breathe. I need love, and I'm not sensing any love right now. I'm not feeling the love by you buying me a dieting book. That's kind of sending the wrong message here. That's not exactly what I'm after. And she's crushed by that. How could he do that? You know, so sublimity, he probably just hates me, and he thinks I'm terrible, and he thinks, you know. And the guy's thinking, hey, somebody got me that, I'd be like, thanks, I needed one of those. I've been adding a few pounds myself, you know? And it's just a completely different way of looking at things. Completely different way. Meanwhile, his tank is blue, and she comes prancing in and maybe sometimes cuts right where she knows it will pierce that hose. And maybe sincere questions in her heart, and yet she's piercing his air hose and his life support, and she's asking hard questions. Where's that money going to come from? What are you going to do with the kids? And how come the house isn't fixed? And questions that aren't just put in a term of respect, but questions that have a tone of accusation. And the lady might think, well, I don't know if I'm asking nicely. I just need to get this out of the way and get this settled and get over this so we can get through this. And we have to know these things. So let's get these issues settled. That's her mindset, and yet what it's doing to him is crushing his air hose, and it's piercing his air hose. Well, it's just my way of venting. I need to get it off my chest, and it's not a big deal. What I'm saying is what's a big deal to you may not be a big deal to him, and what's a big deal to him you may not see as a big deal, but what we're trying to do is get on each other's side tonight. He might be a big, strong man, but in many ways, what we said this morning is that you're the person he's trying to impress, ladies. You're the woman that he tried to woo when you were dating. You're the one he wanted to make you in awe of him through what he was doing and what he was saying. And so he still wants that of you, the same way you want his love and you want his notes and you want his affection the way you were when you were dating. It's not giving him a big head. It's not puffing him up in pride, not making him arrogant. But when you express your appreciation of him in respectful tones, now I think that's a helpful thing. One of my biggest criticisms of modern TV is the way that they portray men. And I say modern TV, perhaps all the way back to the 80s, how feminized, not only how feminized the men have become, but how idiotic they've become as well. And how demeaned they are. And the women are taking charge, not that they can't be bosses or good workers. That's not what I'm saying at all. It's skill. What I'm talking about is how they're portrayed as scoffing at men and thinking they're just idiots and buffoons and dads in shows and movies. They can never do anything right, and they never have the right thing to say. And it's like we've accepted that. As a culture, we've accepted that. I'll walk into restaurants, and the woman, I'll walk in first. My wife will be beside me, and the hostess there at the station will look directly at my wife and say, how many? And it's almost like, wait a minute, I know how many are in my family too. And that might seem like something that's so trivial and so small, but my wife gets asked my family questions all the time. And you might say, well, that shouldn't bother you. And you should just get over it, and you should just accept that, and you're being trivial. What I'm trying to show you, just by being transparent now tonight, what I'm trying to show you is that maybe it's not so trivial. And yes, in some instances might seem trivial when you say them out loud, but I'm talking about the simple, small little things that you may or may not understand about your husband or your spouse. And I'm talking about expressing things in respect the way that your husband may appreciate and understand. It may be that your husband's not like that, but it may also be that he's just not like that anymore. He used to be, but he's gone through years and years and years and years of this, where it's no longer either an issue or no longer a fight that he even wants to have. And maybe he's never been able to even be honest about something. And maybe there's a series of these things that you may not even understand. That he has a hose, you have a hose, and you're more expressive about your hose and your needs and your desires for love. And he may not be as expressive about that, but I'm just here to say today on Father's Day, don't crucify me. I'm standing up for men today. I'm here to say that maybe he has some needs along the lines of respect that if you've never taken the time to actually, truthfully, honestly ask, is there an area that I'm disrespecting you? I mean, you're expressive and you expect. If he does have a problem, he should just get it out into the open and tell me. I'll fix it, and good-natured women will. But maybe there hasn't ever been a time. I think many, many women don't even realize. Just from my own experience, maybe talking to men and even reading research like this, don't even realize that some of the things that they say can pierce the hose, can trample on the hose. And the man in an issue of embarrassment, perhaps, or of honor, of not wanting to start an argument, not even wanting to get into it, won't even bring it up, and doesn't even want to venture into that. I'm just saying we're looking at the same thing from different perspectives, pink and blue. And the woman's going to see everything through a shade of pink and hear everything through a shade of pink. And the man is going to see it through blue. When a man has his blue hearing aids on and he hears those fateful words, we need to talk. Oh boy, sirens go off in the deepest part of your soul. It's like a five-alarm fire going on, and we're calling in. This is worse than any horror movie about to happen right now. This is terrifying. This is the scariest thing ever, because men don't hash out their problems the same way women do, and they're more compartmentalized, and so you'll hear, let's just drop it. I don't want to talk about it anymore. That's enough. Leave it alone. Because the man will just say, let's stop it, whereas the woman is pushing the issue to get through to a resolution. And the man's resolution in that time of conflict is to drop it. We said this morning, he's in warrior mode, man. His beats go up to 99 beats per minute. And his adrenaline is pumping, and he's ready to jump on the bomb, so to speak. And so the honorable thing to do instead of fight is to flee. Fight or flight, and he's going to get out of there, and he's going to shut down, and he's going to stonewall. He doesn't want to appear defensive and make excuses for who he is. He doesn't want to appear angry and lose his temper at what you're saying to him, even though on the inside that's what he's feeling like he wants to do. He doesn't want to own his part without believing that you'll own your part, and he doesn't want to keep hearing about it either. So according to the research and according to these studies, many times, statistically speaking, the man will just go off into silence. Now, ladies, don't just write him off as, oh, he's just so childish. I can't believe he'd do that. He just shuts up. He doesn't even want to face the issue. He's such a baby. He just walks away. Oh, that's such a childish thing to do. What I'm saying is that he may have different needs than you. And you might have different needs than him, and at the same level you're feeling unloved is at those times the same level that he's feeling disrespected. Man, I was talking this morning about all these things, and the elbows were going back and forth, you know. It's like husbands were jabbing wives on one point, and then the next point, the wives would jab the husbands back in their gut, and it was like seesaw, you know, you were sawing logs over there all morning long, because it's like, yeah, that's true about that, but that's true on the other side, too. Now, it's true both ways. Every one of these truths many times will go both ways, and we'll be able to relate both ways, but It was funny. I had more wives telling me this morning that they appreciated the sermon. And it was a sermon like directed at wives, you know, but that just shows their good nature. They were talking about being disrespectful and things like that. Their desire is to know. Their desire is to be close to their husband. And they want to know how to draw closer to them. Man, as good as my wife is at this, and I talked about some of the wonderful things, I'm just talking about even my wife struggles to know sometimes what it is. And each woman is going to go through those struggles, and that's the part of the marriage process and the communication process of figuring these things out between each other. And man-woman relationships, the same way I'm working on loving hers, the same way she's working. I understand she loves me. She doesn't have to work at that, but she does have to work at the respectful language of our relationship. And I realized my own error in stonewalling. I may have mentioned to you, or perhaps it was to the teens, we went on a cruise a couple weeks ago for our 10th anniversary, and it was a precious time, wonderful time. And there sitting on deck four, we were out looking over the waves of Alaska, and we saw a couple whales shoot their spouts up, and we got to see them. And I explained to her, and I said, I'm trying to work on just explaining myself better. In times like these where there might be a conflict, I realize that silence isn't the answer, and it's oftentimes my go-to because I'm not sure what to say or what else to add to this, and I don't want to keep going on in this. And so the stonewalling, I'm realizing in myself. And so I talked to her about that and express my desire to change on that. And I'm working on understanding her and giving her the benefit of the doubt. Then when she wants to talk, it's not to attack me and it's not to hurt me in some way like I'm feeling. And I'm talking about when she wraps her appeals in language of respect and contempt, and there's financial struggles or there's desires she wants for the family that I'm not doing and those things. When she wraps them in the respect language, it's like, oh, my heart melts and I want to assist. I want to do those things for her. And that's the secret weapon, ladies. You can manipulate your man. And he'll be so happy to do it. He won't even care. If he knows he's being manipulated, he'll be totally fine with that if you respect him to his core. If you understand that everything that you completely believe in him. Again, the point was to submit to Christ in dealing with your spouse. And believing the best about him and choosing a mature response and not getting on that crazy cycle, but getting on what the author of the book I'm talking about calls the energizing cycle. His love motivates her respect, which motivates his love, which motivates her respect, and it just keep on compounding right there. Women, you don't have to expect your husband to be another woman, a girlfriend of yours. But men, at the same time, don't expect it to all be on them. I'm trusting that draining the negativity, if you sense negativity in your home or in your relationship, that's only going to come through somebody that's willing to step to the plate and say, I need to make some good changes here. I need to put some things, and it might be on you, sir, and it might be on you, ma'am. It might be on either of you. But in many ways, this acronym that my sons and some of my nephews were handing out these little sheets here with these acronyms, in many ways, the men can figure out how to draw closer to their wives through this acronym, closeness. A woman has a desire to be close to her husband. Therefore, shall a man leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. When we were discussing this in college, the professor would say, you leave father and mother, cleave to one another, and God will weave. Leave, cleave, and weave. God weaves you into one flesh. And the woman desires that closeness. Man, my daughters show me this. They snuggle up to me in ways that my son never did. And it's like they desire that closeness to their dad. And I'm talking about simple little things, man, vacations and physical touch and hugs and talking to her before talking to the kids and simple things like drawing close to her and expressing that. The O stands for openness. Again, men, you don't have to be the bubbly girlfriend of your wife. You just have to be a little bit more open to her. And for some of us, we'd rather just never say anything. And I'd rather be quiet, never speak, never get into anything, you know, play my cards close to my vest, and the less information that's out there, the less I can get hurt with. And so, you know, if you talk too much, you'll get in trouble, and that's compartmentalized. Just the facts, ma'am, just the facts, you know, and this is just to the point, and let's just say only the words that need to be said and no more. Meanwhile, she's sailing around this dark, mysterious island looking for a way in and trying to figure out who you are and just wants you to open up, just wants to know you. But be open about that. Be open about ways that you do sense disrespect or communicate that to her. That's some of the ways, the questions that my wife asked me is just for me to help her understand these things. Now, don't be too sensitive. The preacher told me, you can't disrespect me, so you're never allowed to open your mouth again. That was disrespectful. Don't go overboard with it, I'm saying. But I'm talking about being open to her. And in your openness, it might result in some emotion. Ladies, you can look for anger to notice whether you've hit a nerve of disrespect. Look for quietness in him to notice a nerve of disrespect. Maybe it was the way you said something. But if he tells you something and he wants to express his heart, then don't immediately come back with five things that it should have been done this, and your justifications and your reasons for this. He's already thinking about all the things you're going to say back to him after he tells you what's on his heart. And sometimes it's like, well, I don't know. If she's going to say this, then it's not even me worth saying, so why bother type of thing. So don't rattle off all the reasons you said that or the point you wanted to make or the idea you wanted to get across. Maybe just allow him to open up. And then if he understands that, then that's where that comes. Men, you matter to your wives. And it's good that they want you to open up to her and not some other man. And it's good that they want to be close to you and nobody else. You're the only one she wants to be alone with and close to and open with. And so dwell on that. Understanding is the you. Understanding. Verse 7 of the text we read, dwell with her according to knowledge. Trying to understand her, find out her likes and dislikes, and this is a lot of simple things, but simple small talk, letting her vent, sometimes letting her talk it out is the way that she has and processes her thoughts. A man might like to stew or think about something or retreat and have some quiet time. A woman might say we need to talk, not because she knows what she has to say, but perhaps because that's just how she needs to think through some things, and that's her way of ordering her world and getting it back into place. And that can be okay. Sometimes the first question, if she says we need to talk, okay, am I in trouble? No, you're not in trouble. Okay, whew, that's bullet number one dodged right there. You might even ask, is it a fix or an ear that you need? And you don't have to fix everything that she talks to you about, but maybe just listen about those things. That's good. That's good for your relationship. Maybe bypass the kids and go straight to your wife. As soon as I walk in, I forget who it was that recommended that. Maybe a couples retreat or a preaching service that somebody recommended. You know, don't spend time with kids first, but spend time with your wife first. I try to do that. Make a beeline straight to my wife when I get home from work and just talk. And just try to understand her. It's good for the kids to see. The P, that's COU, and now the P is peacemaking. Apologizing sometimes if needed. Many times it is needed. I was wrong. Oh boy, I was wrong. Yeah, and I'm sorry. But I'm not sure if my wife is going to say that. She always brings up the past, and it should be dropped, and I don't think I'm really all that wrong in this situation. I don't know if I should. And why should I be the one to have to apologize? And we go through all these things in our mind, and chances are if you apologize and try to make peace, she'll be so reciprocal in that, oh, I was wrong in there, and she'll be the one that's expressing, and she'll end up, you know, telling her how many wrong things she did, and you go, no, you weren't even wrong at all in this situation. It was all on me. But there's this peacemaking aspect that you need. And then you kiss and make up, and it's all good from there. The author of the book said, one guy wrote in to me and said, hey, this I'm sorry stuff really works. This week I said I'm sorry to my wife 84 times. He enjoyed that. But peacemaking, the L right there is loyalty. Loyalty, she needs to know that you're committed. Speaking highly of her in front of other people and being involved in what's important to her, helping her with decisions on the kids, not correcting her in front of the kids, but being loyal to her, not critical, protecting her from your kids' disrespect. Simple little things, letting her know that you're on your way home from work or texting her your plans, whatever it is. Keeping your word, speaking positively of her. for the marriage to thrive and for the wife to feel so secure in that. Our counselor, our premarital counselor, gave us this advice, and we had, I think, a whole session on just the loyalty of marriage and the longevity of marriage and the steadfastness. This is a covenant that can never be broken. This is a covenant that you're going into that needs never, ever, ever be broken. I mean, this is a promise that you are going to make on your wedding day, till death do us part. You're going to say those words. And of course, when we're sitting there in premarital counseling, we're madly in love. We just want to get married. We want to go start our lives together. And our hearts are just so intertwined, and we just want to be married. Of course, we'll never split up. But life happens, and life is so daily. And life is just one of those things that grinds on you. And you realize halfway into adulthood, maybe halfway into that first year, you realize this, you know, maybe we can't just live on love. Maybe we got to have a little bit more than what's there, because sometimes the love runs out. Now, I'm talking about loyalty has to be one of those things that is absolutely at your core, something you will never, ever break. And I remember the counselor sitting into us and talking to us, Brother Rick Williams, and he said the word divorce can never, ever be in your vocabulary. Can't even be in your vocabulary. Don't ever even say that word. I mean, this isn't even a question. He said, yeah, we got it. He said, no. Let me labor on this a while. And he spent about 5 minutes just emphasizing the fact that you cannot go into this even expecting an out. If you have an inkling of an out, every couple goes through struggles. Every couple goes through struggles, but I'm talking about banishing the D word from your vocabulary and getting it out and never even saying that word. You keep your word and stay loyal to her, and men, express that to your wives. Say, I will never, ever leave you, no matter what. No matter what we go through, I will never, ever leave you. There can be nothing in my life that makes me leave you. I can do so much for your wife. I can do so much for her heart and for her soul. Loyalty, and then esteem. We read this morning that you honor and cherish her. Verse number 7 says that you do those things, dwell with them according to knowledge, that your prayers be not hindered. She'll say, oh, I'm such a failure. I'm doing this with the kids. And those moments are times to reassure her, point out little things. I'm so bad at these things. I feel like such a hypocrite in even talking about these things because I'm so poor at these. But I think they're just good for us to hear sometimes. Thank her for every meal and try to train your kids to do the same things. Teach the kids to respect her, value her opinion, be proud of what she does. For men, your code is going to be different. Your acronym is going to look a little different. I look at the COUPLE, and you know, my wife could break all of those with me, and it wouldn't be a deal breaker to me. There could be some aspects of them, obviously, but for the man's language, he speaks and thinks a completely different way. And ladies, if you respect your man, then in some ways, then what you're doing is just studying him and noticing what he's putting his life into, what he's putting his time into, what he's putting his ideas and what he values and what he likes. Don't downplay his abilities as if they're pointless or they're a waste of time. But if he genuinely like who he is and what he can do, that's a powerful tool. That's a very powerful tool if you're appreciative of who he is. Like I said, you'll manipulate him and he won't even care. He'll allow you to do that. In anything that I write, just for example, if my wife likes an article that I've written or a sermon that I've preached or something I've taught my kids and makes a comment, those comments just live a long time because that's where I'm valuing. That's where I'm putting my value into. That's what I'm putting my time into. That's what's important to me. Is preaching the word of God or just trying to invest in people or writing things or investing in my kids. And if there's some aspect that I'm putting time into and she notices, that's what I love. I'm trying not to be egotistical about it. I'm just saying if that's what is enjoyed and appreciated, then notice that. We've recommended sometimes the book Mother and Son by the same author. And talking about the same language, speaking the same languages with your teenage children and your 5-year-old kids. Mothers speaking to sons in this respect language. And you might write off your son for something like skateboarding or something like Fortnite. You know, he's talking about how good he's getting at Fortnite. And he's talking about all the skins he has. But listen, this is just an example of the video game Fortnite. It's just an example of something that he's cherishing right now. And if you're allowing him to spend the time, I think it's, you know, you might think it's a waste of time, and there might be aspects of it that are a waste of time, but if you're allowing it in his life, and he's allowed to do it, and that's what he's pouring his life into, then just what I'm saying is pick up on the language of respect that they're speaking about themselves. I got a new skin today. I'm this guy. I'm that guy. And they're impressed with themselves. They're impressed with how far they've gotten, how level they've advanced. They're impressed with other people within their world. They have their own little hierarchy of respect based on Fortnite skills because that's where they're living. I'm just simply talking about notice where they're living and then get into their world. There's that thrill of becoming a better biker, becoming a better skater, becoming whatever they're getting better at. Then that's the language they're going to be using. That's what they're going to be talking about. That's what they're going to be focusing on. That's what they're going to be using their summer spending time on. I'm not saying that I advocate all of those things, but what you're allowing, don't just write them off as dumb kids and I can't control it anyway. If you're going to allow it, then back it too and bring them along. Your husband, ladies, are going to be similar to that. The things he's valuing, the things he's putting his time into, Those are quality things to him. And so conquest is that first C of chair. Conquest is the first thing. Appreciate him for being able to go out, and Dave Ramsey says he's going to go out, kill something, drag it home, and provide for the family. That's his idea of conquest. And I just appreciate my wife so much, so many times verbally, but sometimes in a note, thanking me for working hard. And a woman who believes in her man, and a woman who believes that her man can provide for the family, you know, not second guess him all the time on big decisions or little decisions. He just wants to be a conqueror of something. For him, it might be his job. It might be something that he values. Again, conquest. And then hierarchy. Hierarchy is the H. Appreciate his desire to protect and provide. It's not a toxic patriarchy that we're trying to push along here. This is just a biblical mindset. And it only works, ladies, if you allow it to. Biblical submission only works if you actually allow him to be the head of the home. And if you can appreciate that and praise his commitment to whatever that is, not mock the idea of his protection of your family. Oh, man, if we get robbed, we're all dead. You could never protect us from anybody. You know, little jabs like that can do so much to hurt a spirit of a man. And I'm just saying, turn it around and turn it into something that's good. If it's a financial discussion you have to have, then carefully navigate that. Offer to help wherever you can. Authority is the A. Kind of goes hand in hand with that hierarchy, but appreciate his desire to serve and to lead. His authority is given by God to serve, but also, yes, to lead, making the call, and following some path. His desire is to lead the family in big issues, but I'm talking about bringing all those little things down to just expressing the respect language of simple little things. We were walking down the sidewalk yesterday, my wife and I, hand in hand, and we're walking down, and it may seem stupid to say out loud, but I'm thinking, okay, the shortest route to the car is this way if we turn left, and she makes the comment, oh man, it might be shorter if we go this way. And it's like simple little things like that that I say, oh, let's just go this way. You know, these constant little conversations where, you know, if it's done in a language of disrespect, or if it's done through these ideas that your way is better and I can't believe you would do that, and oh, this is so stupid, I knew we'd get lost, or I knew we would never make it, or if we would have done it my way from the beginning, it would have worked out better, and it might have, but you don't have to say so. And the respect language is, you're stupid, you're stupid, you're stupid, is how he's going to be taking it. And that you're so foolish, I can do it better, and you probably can. And you can probably run your life better, you can probably run your family better. And my wife is completely more capable than I am in so many areas. And yet I appreciate her desire to just allow me to be the authority from small little things like that. Dr. Hardy, when he conducted our couples retreat, said, I asked my wife's opinion, and she weighs in on her opinion, and I weigh her opinion higher than almost anybody else, but I say, okay, you've said what you're going to say, and I will think about that, and I appreciate that, honey. I appreciate that so much. But that's going to be it. I'm going to make a decision from here. And he just leaves it at that and makes it understood that her opinion is valuable, but she doesn't need to keep nagging and keep pestering, keep pushing her opinion and keep trying to get her opinion through. Whether he goes along with it or not, he's making the statement that he just wants to make the decision. So authority is something that's going to be very valuable to him, and you can help him along in that. Insight is the I. I is for insight. Appreciate his desire to analyze and counsel. Insight, he is not the bumbling buffoon that TV makes him out to be. A wife said that she was nagging her husband, and she was putting him down, and for years they had a marriage that was on decline, and she was not being the wife. She said, I was not being the wife that I was supposed to be, and I thought he couldn't do anything right, that type of a husband. She said, I decided to drop into work one day while he's at work in this office environment and walk through the hallways, and he's I don't know if he was a high-ranking executive or what he was, but she always saw him as just her husband, just that guy that she lived with in the same house. And when she walked through the hallways, she saw people snapping almost to attention when he walked by. And she noticed people asking his opinion and coming up to him and really thanking him for his insight. And boy, that really helps, and I appreciate that so much. She noticed a young lady that came up and dropped something off at his desk and made little comments about, boy, he just is so smart. And these comments like, wow, my husband is really respected here at work. And she never realized it. She never even saw that side of her husband before until she saw how other people treated him and how well he was respected at work. And she said, I was sitting in a meeting and seeing these interactions, and she said, I had to cut it short. And I walked out and said, I'll see you at home later. And she said, I went out to my car and just started bawling, weeping, saying, I can't believe I've been treating him like this. Every day he comes home after being treated so respectfully here, I can't believe I've been like this. And she said, it changed my whole marriage to see him in the sitting like that. And I wanted to treat him in a way like that. Listen, his insight is something that's valuable. Ladies, intuition is a valuable thing, but at the same side, or maybe on the other side of the coin, is his insight as well. Ask these questions. These were in that book, and I thought they were good. Do I ever differ because I think his way is stupid? Do I send messages that I won't follow him if I disagree with his opinion? Do I want him to be responsible but keep veto power in case he makes an irresponsible decision? And instead, just appreciate his counsel. Love him for what he says and thank him for his empathy and change wherever maybe he has recommendations and thoughts. That's I for insight, and then the last one is R for relationship. Appreciate his desire for shoulder-to-shoulder friendship. Sometimes a man might just want to be close to his wife and be with his wife, not necessarily to talk, but just to be together and just to spend time together. Not necessarily that you have to have anything to talk about, but men share experiences, and the ladies like to share, you know, conversations. I liked our cruise that we went on because it was a fun cruise. Man, we got to have the experience, and I'm thinking about all the things that we did and the places we went and the things that we saw, and I'm thinking of it just as a big whole, and I'm thinking my wife approaches the cruise like, boy, I love the time we got to spend talking, and I love that we got to sit on the deck and spend that time talking, and I love that we got to spend time together, and I love that we got to talk, and I love that we got to spend time together, and I love that we got to talk, you know, and that's how she wraps up and thinks about the cruise and the way that we approach that. We approach things differently, and so it can go both ways. I love being with her. Sometimes if she's texting in the car, we don't have to be talking about anything, but I just like her to not be on her phone. You know, she'll be texting about something, and I'll look over and be like, hey, who is that? Who are you texting? You know, and sometimes I'm not saying anything, but it's like, what if I wanted to say something? Then I would want you to be listening to me. So don't have your phone out. Well, I might say something, and I want you to hear it. It'll be good when I say it. I promise you that. But it's that idea that we don't have to be talking about something, but I just like being together. I like her being present, and I like her being in the moment with us and with the family and listening to the kids and with us right there. And simple things that you just like being together with that relationship. She's a great sport about all kinds of things, man. She's not quite as into board games as I am, you know, but I like when she plays board games with us and we're training up Abe, you know. He's right there. He's always wanting to do a board game, and she's going to be stuck with that, you know, having to endure through that. She enjoys them some, but not to the same extent, but she's a trooper, and she's pushing to just spend that time and have that connection with the family, and I appreciate that so much. I think a lot of women can look at something like this and say, these things are so petty. Why can't they relate to me the way I want them to? I'm just talking about this journey of life is this whole process of understanding, of figuring each other out and of growing together and doing it along the way. And I think as we do that for each other, God just brings us all closer together. And that's only a valuable and a beneficial thing. So with that, we'll stand and we'll go into an invitation time. I'm just going to do a simple song again, similar to what we did this morning, just an opportunity to respond to God. We'll do 816, have thine own way, Lord. Just a simple question, a simple statement in this song of saying, God, whatever you have for me, if I haven't been living up to my marriage the right way, or I've even seen teenage girls talking to teenage boys the wrong way because they don't understand, and I've been in the situation where I've hurt ladies because I've just been talking guy talk and I don't understand how I can be helpful to them. This